You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's a great delight to say we are joined by a man I have admired greatly for decades. He has experienced firsthand some of the worst of what totalitarian systems like the Soviet Union and North Korea and Communist China and so many others have meted out to people like him, people of courage, people of conviction. His name is Vladimir Bukovsky. He was, during the Cold War, one of the most prominent and, I think, incredibly effective critics of the Soviet Union and prisoners of conscience of the regime. He has chronicled some of his experiences in a book entitled To Build a Castle, involving, among other things, his time in insane asylums as part of his punishment for being a refusenik, a dissident. He has also written a book, which I am thrilled to say will shortly be out, apparently in an ebook form, in English at long last, entitled Judgment in Moscow, among other things detailing his efforts to find and bring to everyone's attention what actually went on in the Soviet Union after the collapse of the Soviet regime. Vladimir Bukovsky, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. I am honored that you would take some time with us. I know you're not well at the moment, but thank you for visiting with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I wanted to start with where I basically left off a moment ago with Claudia Rosette, and that is we're watching sort of a renaissance of these totalitarian systems. We're propping up the North Koreans, it seems, at the moment. The regime of the Russian successor to the Soviet Union bears in most respects an uncanny resemblance to the Soviet system, at least in the person of Vladimir Putin. So, Vladimir, talk about the Putin regime as you have seen it firsthand and its efforts to sort of continue some of the worst of the behavior, including threats to this country that we are familiar with in the Soviet era.
Well, it was clear from the beginning that the task Putin and his lot have in front of them is to restore the Soviet system to an extent that is physically possible. If you remember, his first gestures at becoming a president of Russia were to restore the Russian, the Soviet national anthem, although with different words, and also returning red banner to the army. So it's kind of a dual system under which the national flag of Russia is tricolor. And the flag under which the army marches is still the red banner. And that was a signal, obviously, to everyone in the country that the task is to restore the Soviet system. And he very quickly proceeded doing that by returning censorship, by returning political repressions, by becoming aggressive to neighbors and engaging in all kind of territorial disputes with the neighbors and trying to subvert the regimes through the secret methods and so on and so forth. So it was, as I said at the time, the idea of a new regime is back to the USSR.
It's kind of declared bankruptcy and reorganized under Chapter 11, as we might say in the United States. It's still up to its old tricks.
Yeah, something like that. The mentality of these people who were in the junior positions in KGB when the Soviet system collapsed was very simple. They did not believe it happened naturally. They believe it all happened because of betrayal, treason, some intrigues and plots, be it by CIA, by Jews, by I don't know who, Masons. You just think about it. So in a way, their mentality at the beginning, it was not dissimilar to that of people like Hitler at the end of World War I. So if we will eradicate the treason in our system, we might replay the game again and win this time. So that is the main impulse behind the regime we have right now in Kremlin.
I'm very anxious to talk with you at greater length about all of this, because I think your insights are incredibly important, Vladimir Pukhovsky. But I did want to ask you if you could to spend a little bit of time with us talking about the influence operations that the Russian regime has clearly engaged in, not just here in the United States, but also in Europe and elsewhere, where they're trying to influence elections, they're trying to subvert governments that they consider to be hostile to them. They're working with people who they find it convenient to work with, including, it would appear, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and some in their administration. But do you find any of this surprising, given what you saw during the Soviet days and what you know of Vladimir Putin's plans for a sort of continuity of that previous regime?
I don't find it in any way surprising. I mean, it's very typical. And I must say, they have very little imagination. They use exactly the same technology, exactly the same methods, tactics. They didn't invent anything new.
Well, they seem to have tapped into Facebook and some other internet technologies that are a little bit more advanced than the Soviets had, of course. But it's the same basic playbook, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, look what Comintern did in the 30s. They invented this dichotomy. You're either for Hitler, and then you're against Stalin. Or you're for Stalin, and then you're against Hitler. If you're against Hitler, you're for Stalin. If you're against Stalin, you're for Hitler. With this kind of trick, they continue to hoodwink people for decades. Still, not everyone understands that it was Comintern's game. Even today, when you start being critical of Stalin, they would say, so what? It means that Hitler was okay. And with this stupid game, they continue. Now they do the same with Putin versus Western countries, be it European Union or something different. So if you're against Putin, you're against European Union. If you're against European Union, you're against Putin. You are for Putin. You know, that is a game. Now, a lot of our friends in Europe who were always against the European Union, campaigning against it, disclosing how dangerous this bureaucracy is, they are now depicted as friends of Putin, although they are not friends of Putin. You know, look at quite a number of people, like Nigel Farage here, like Viktor Orban in Hungary. They're not friends of Putin. They continue to be enemies of the European Union. But this kind of a dichotomy, which is forced on them by propaganda, makes them to look like that, you know. So it's nothing new. The subversive activities in Europe, the massive immigration that generated from Middle East into Europe, that's making a big trouble to everyone here. It's nothing new. They all used it in the past. It was used and used again. The so-called hybrid war, or whatever they call it now.
Hybrid war, yeah. That's the description of it. And it clearly does involve, in addition to the threat of kinetic activity, a lot of influence operations, political warfare, economic operations, intelligence, and so on. And it's all too reminiscent, isn't it, of the old days, the bad old days, which you have done more than just about anybody to document. Vladimir Pukhovsky, we have to leave it at that, I'm sorry to say, for the moment, but I hope we can come back to you soon for a much longer conversation. There's so much to talk about. Congratulations on the imminent publication here in the United States of Judgment in Moscow, something we've been waiting for a long time. Also, folks, check out To Build a Castle. I understand that it might be possible for people to get a Kindle version of that for the next few days at Amazon, and I'm appreciative of you making that available for free. Vladimir Pukhovsky, come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, please stay well. Next up, we'll speak with Michael Cutler about the latest immigration dramas and more right after this.